Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. It might not be on your radar, but the Biden administration is facing a new challenge to its energy and security agenda in South America. Venezuela, led by President Nicolas Maduro, is threatening to annex an oil-rich territory ruled by its neighbor, Guyana. If Venezuela were to invade, it would impact billions of dollars in investments from U.S. energy companies and test the Biden administration's ability to support friendly countries in its backyard. So today, Politico's Eric Bazalamil talks about why this conflict is happening in the first place, the energy stakes, and how the Biden administration is responding. It's Wednesday, March 20th.
Since colonial times, Venezuela and Guyana have had a longstanding border dispute over the Essequibo region. It's an area in what is now, you know, Western Guyana, bordered by the Essequibo River. It's an area of jungle that has many, you know, oil, gas, and mineral riches. And since the end of the 19th century, you know, it has been disputed between these two countries. But in recent weeks, as Venezuela's oil production has been going down and Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro is approaching a very contentious election in his country, Venezuela has been threatening to retake this territory, which has constantly been disputed and claimed by Venezuela. They have been threatening to launch a military invasion. That, of course, has had ripple effects for Guyana, which is a burgeoning energy player on the global market. And it has also impacted the United States, who is trying to figure out how to engage with Venezuela, given Venezuela's worsening human rights record and Venezuela's still formidable, if slightly weakened, presence in the global energy market. And Guyana, which has become a very important energy partner since oil reserves were discovered in Guyana in 2016.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, both countries are big energy players. I think people know more about Venezuela, but can you tell us a little bit more about Guyana's energy ambitions and why it's become such a magnet of activity for American oil and gas companies?
So Guyana really became a burgeoning player in the oil and gas industry within the last decade, even though it's next to Venezuela, which has always had known large oil reserves. The reality is that oil companies had largely overlooked it. There had been occasional offshore projects there in the 70s and the 80s, but there had not been, you know, concerted efforts to explore it. That changed in the early 2000s with some exploration missions. And in 2015, ExxonMobil, which is the largest multinational oil company investing in Guyana right now, ExxonMobil made a very large discovery in 2015 off the coast of Guyana. And that kickstarted a massive interest. Lots of companies like Chevron and Royal Dutch Shell have looked to enter the market. And Exxon operates a joint venture with the China National Oil Company and Hess within the country. And Exxon is pledging at least to invest $40 billion in the country and ramp up natural gas production after 2029. So they have a very strong presence that's translated to huge economic improvements for Guyana. And it also has meant that Guyana has become a really important partner for the U.S. on energy policy, with the war in Ukraine raising energy prices. It's put Guyana significantly more on the U.S.'s geopolitical radar.
Yeah, you mentioned those other conflicts that the Biden administration is navigating and the potential ripple effects on energy. So, what's at stake here with this conflict when it comes to the administration and in dealing with the issue of energy security?
The Biden administration faces a few different competing tests with the crisis in Guyana. The first is just on its own credibility in Latin America. There's been a lot of criticism that the U.S. in general since the end of the Cold War hasn't paid that much attention to friendly regimes and governments in the United States' backyard and hasn't really paid much attention to, you know, governments that want better ties with Washington. Guyana is one of those countries that has been trying to, you know, build its cooperation. The U.S., for its part, has, you know, worked to expand what they emphasize are defensive military cooperation programs and financing military purchases for the Guyanese military. So there's also a test with the U.S.'s global energy strategy. Guyana, as a burgeoning player in the oil and natural gas sector, already is competitive with what Venezuela is producing, what other longtime partners are producing. Guyana is a country that has lots of opportunities for the U.S. to be able to partner with in order to purchase oil and natural gas and ensure that it is as well a partner for the European Union, which has been struggling since the war in Ukraine with diminished supplies of natural gas and oil, and higher energy prices. So it faces, you know, those two threats to its global energy strategy and also to its broader strategy within the Western Hemisphere.
Interesting. And you did speak to an administration official who downplayed Venezuela's military capabilities, maybe the prospects for an invasion. So if you can tell us about that conversation and then kind of how much, even if that is true, I mean, how much of a chilling effect are we seeing on investment from energy companies in Guyana, and how committed are companies like Exxon in staying there? I know you also spoke to Exxon.
The real challenge with these threats is that even if they don't materialize, they can raise the cost of business. Because when, you know, especially in the oil industry, you have like Lloyd's of London constantly evaluating risk factors, even the threat of a Venezuelan invasion ups the price for insurance premiums for shipping and, you know, as well for insuring ventures in Guyana. So one expert, Ryan Berg from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, explained that they have, Venezuela in this case, has a lot of latitude and they have a lot of space to play with this. They can cause a lot of pain by making these threats and then seeing that the stock price goes down, or for the companies that are operating the venture, or seeing that the premium price for shipping oil and natural gas out of Guyana goes up. And that causes, you know, direct economic impact on Guyana. It disincentivizes companies from investing any further money in the long term. So that's really the kind of game that Venezuela can play. Nevertheless, Exxon is saying that they're going to stick through it. The head of upstream for Exxon said in an interview with Bloomberg in February that they're in it for the long haul. And an Exxon spokesperson told me that they are heartened to see that the region is banding together to support Guyana and, you know, that the international arbitration process is going on. Right now, there is a case for review at the International Court of Justice about where the border is and whether Venezuela's claims that there was malfeasance with the way the border was drawn have any merit. But they're projecting confidence that they will be in the country, and they're expecting to expand their operations through 2029 to include natural gas production, which would be a huge next step for Guyana on the global energy stage.
Also, new data released by the Treasury Department shows that interest is surging in provisions created under Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act that aim to expand clean energy into new communities that historically have not been able to utilize tax incentives. Treasury said on Tuesday that about 500 entities have registered with the department to potentially utilize those provisions, up from 145 entities that registered in January. The new data provides a glimpse of the overall interest in the IRA's sprawling clean energy tax incentives, and it comes as Republicans on the Hill criticize the law's increasing price tag, and as former President Donald Trump pledges to undo the green incentives if elected. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.